Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian, and as you know, I'm a fellow small church pastor alongside of you guys. And alongside of us today in the wonderful studio, we have Joey and Colby. Guys, what's up?
My life is dope, and I do dope things.
And I'm still blessed.
What? Now we got blessed and dope things? That's awesome. So, Colby, have you ever had any issue with people wondering what in the world that means when you say that?
Yeah, I have. I've had somebody ask me, what do I mean when I say that my life is dope and I do dope things? And I had to say, well, you could just replace the word dope with great, awesome. My life is dope and I do dope things. Now, a friend of mine told me that his kids told him that nobody has said dope in like 15 years.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's kind of funny that I can say that.
That's the dad coming out right there. It's like, oh, it's not cool anymore. I'm going to jump on that.
I'm going to make it cool.
Uh-huh. So yep.
My life is dope and I do dope things.
That's what's up. All right. So, Joey, what about when people ask you about being blessed, man? What do you say to that?
Well, I'm truly blessed. I took a 10-day, 4,000-mile trip with somebody, and I still come back blessed.
Bless God.
So that I am truly blessed.
That's good. And any other time you want to take a trip like that with me, just let me know, and you will stay blessed, okay? Well, guys, today we have an interesting podcast ahead of us. I honestly have some good expectations for this. You guys see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Today we're talking about expectations. For those of you that are out there in small church land, you know that expectations are very real. Like,
absolutely.
Especially those of you that are small church pastors, it's almost as if the presence of expectations is really more palpable than the presence of God in many places, because you've got, man, let's say you're a church of 30 people. You've got probably 130 expectations from those 30 people that are going on in there, and your family has expectations. You have expectations for the church. And so today in this podcast, we're just going to talk about kind of how to navigate some of those expectations, and also as you're navigating them, how to stay sane in the process. Like, I know you guys have experienced some of these same things too, where it's almost like the unbearable expectations that can be placed on you in ministry can make you go crazy, man. And so then what do you guys think about whenever we're throwing out this idea of expectations in ministry?
It's usually the untold expectations, the expectations that we haven't been informed about that get us. It's not the ones that we know about. We see those and meet those most of the time.
Right.
Or we know what limits we have and we can communicate that. It's those unwritten expectations that get us.
Could you give us an example or two of what an unwritten expectation would be?
That if somebody's in the hospital, you visit every day to the hospital.
Right. And so one visit isn't enough. We're expecting you to be there checking every day.
Or you've got a visit instead of sending somebody else.
Uh-huh.
That's one that we've run into. Well, the former pastor cut the grass. Our expectations, you cut the grass.
Right, right.
That's a couple that I've run into.
Okay.
How about y'all? What do y'all run into?
That's similar. I was thinking the same thing about cutting the grass, because when I interviewed for the position I'm in now, they asked me, they said, well, the pastor before you was always, he mowed the yard every week. Is that something you'd be willing to do? And I said, no. I'll be part of that team, but it needs to take more than just one person. So, I think we talked about this back when we were talking about setting goals, or maybe I read it somewhere where if you don't write it down, it's just a wish. If you don't write your goal down, it's just a wish. Well, it's kind of the same thing with the expectations. If you don't write these expectations down, clarify them, communicate them amongst the team, it's just a wish. You're wishing that I would mow the yard every week. You're wishing that I would go to the hospital every day to visit these people. But if it's not written down, clear communication, it's not going to happen.
So what makes an expectation a justifiable expectation versus a false expectation?
That's a good question.
The definite, if it's communicated, the best way is to write it down, because then we can go back and look at the wording instead of, well, I understood it to mean this. Mm-hmm. And I heard this one, write it down, and it's got to be agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be communicated, and it's got to be agreed upon to be a legitimate expectation.
Okay.
So when you ask that question, what makes it a legitimate expectation? Honestly, my first thought was, I got to want to do it. If it's not something that I want to do, then it's not a legitimate.
It's not legitimate, right.
It's a wish on your part.
Yeah, yes.
Which isn't right. That's not the right way. Right. But that was the first thought that popped in my mind is if I don't want to do it, it's not going to be a realistic expectation. There's certain things as pastors that we do because it's our position to do, but we got to want to do those things. Even if it is written down as an expectation, if it's something that I don't want to do, I'm going to find ways. It's going to go to the bottom of the priority list.
Right.
And so it does have to be agreed upon and talked about to say, okay, hey, we want you to do this. I am not going to go do daily visits at a hospital unless it's a different person. Then I will go.
Like if somebody has been given 48 hours to live,
right.
I'm going to be there for the majority. If your world stops.
If you're in there to have surgery on an ingrown toenail, I'm not coming. Okay,
right.
I'm just going to pray for you, and I will pray for you. But I had a pastor, a mentor of mine, that he told me that when he was the senior pastor, he went to dental cleanings.
That man is living in a totally different era.
I'm like, there's no way. I don't have time for that. I don't. So the expectation has to be agreed upon, and it's got to be something that is not just hey, the pastor before you did this. It has to be something that's in our heart to do.
Well, and that's the agreed upon. But another thing is they have to have the ability to do it.
Yes.
Somebody can expect somebody to take them to the airport, but if they have no car to take them to the airport, then it's not a legitimate expectation. They cannot fulfill that expectation.
Yeah. I think another word that we need to bring up when we're talking about expectations too is it reasonable?
Yes.
There are reasonable expectations. For example, it's reasonable for a member of the congregation to expect pastoral care.
Yes.
We're shepherds and we are to care for people. It's unreasonable for a person in the congregation to expect pastoral coddling. And often that's what we have other pastors like Colby you're talking about who go to dental cleaning and they're at every event and then all of a sudden we come in and we're not wired that way and it becomes what was once very unreasonable of an expectation now becomes even that much more placed on our shoulders. And so I think that whenever you're dealing with expectations, we've got to communicate them. We can't have unwritten, unspoken expectations. I tell people all the time, I'm good at a lot of things, but mind reading is not something that I'm really good at. And so if you're expecting me to do something, please tell me. Let's communicate it, but let's make sure that it's reasonable as well.
Yeah, something else that I run into was the pastor needs to be at everything that's going on.
Yeah, sometimes
that's an unreasonable expectation.
Or the pastor's wife. Now, we're going to talk about the pastor's wife later, too, but they're expecting her to be at every women's event and all of that, yeah. Play the piano and raise kids that always say the nice things and all that.
So you come in behind a pastor that's kids were grown and out, and so he didn't have to be at home as much, and then you get a younger pastor in that's got kids, and now you got to be at everything, so he's never home with his kids to help his wife with the kids. That's an unreasonable expectation.
Yeah.
And so you got to look at the situation, the different people too, before you determine what is a reasonable expectation or not.
And so a lot of times too, what you find out is they want the pastor to do these things, hospital visits. Okay. Most hospitals they're within 10. Well, the main hospital for us is within 10 minutes from our churches. And so it's not that big of a deal. But we do have hospitals in Virginia Beach. It's a 45-minute drive to there. Suffolk, which is about another 45 minutes to get there. And so you're talking more time, but more importantly, more gas. And so a pastor that is just starting out has come in, and the expectation is you need to go to every hospital. I remember when there was a day where I went from one hospital in Virginia Beach, the hospital in Norfolk, the hospital in Portsmouth, and in Suffolk all in one day.
Four hospitals in one day. My goodness.
And it started at like 5:30 in the morning, and I worked my way over. And so – but – that day was set up for me to do that because I knew I had to do it. So I put them all on one day so that I could get it over with. But that's a lot of gas to drive from there to there. Now, the listener doesn't know the area. That's probably a good, without traffic, a good hour drive from one to the other. And then my house was 45 minutes away from those. So you're putting more gas on there. Well, a lot of the small church pastors don't make a lot of money.
And if any money.
Right, yeah. If any. And so the expectation is you need to do all these hospital visits, but we're not going to compensate you for that. And that's unrealistic at that point, yeah. Because especially with young pastors that have student loans. I mean, you got student loans you got to pay, and you're barely making league minimum. I mean, it's tough yeah. for them to do that and raise a family yeah. as well. That's
also
it's difficult.
To clarify for those that aren't pastors that are listening, there's no such thing as league minimum in our league. League minimum for pastors is $0. So Colby's talking about you're barely making anything.
In our denomination, we do have a standard limit that should be, nice. It should be met. Now it's,
are you taking applications?
So yes, actually we are. So what it was is if you get a master's degree, you should be making $5,000 more. And so I got a master's degree and I'm like, where's that money coming from?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So again, it's just a suggestion. Mm-hmm. If your church can't pay that, they're not going to be able to pay that. So. Yeah.
And I don't want us to get bogged down on just pastoral care expectations, because there's other expectations happens. And so if you're just coming into a church, probably a good thing to do is, what is your expectations? Let's talk about that. Let's mm-hmm. negotiate these things. Why it may not be feasible for me and deal with those up front. And you may cut yourself off a lot of trouble.
Let me tell you, man, young pastors and new pastors go in with vision, and they think vision is going to be this big attractor, and people are just going to be like, oh, we're on board. Mm-hmm. Church people hear vision all the time.
Yeah.
But the thing is they filter vision through their expectations. And if I had to start over again as a pastor somewhere, I would probably spend the first 6 months just learning who the people are and their expectations.
And I did that when I became the pastor. I didn't make changes. I didn't do anything drastic. I moved a table, which actually did cause some heartburn with a person.
Mm-hmm. That's my table right over there.
No longer in the church. It was where we moved. It was a very good idea. But he didn't like it. Anyway, so starting out slow, not trying to change the world from the beginning, but that is one of the problems. So I've been the pastor now, it'll be 9 years in a couple days. And so on August 4th of 2012, I was completely clueless about church, completely clueless about being a pastor, completely clueless about everything. The next day on August 5th, my first day as the pastor, now I became the all-knowing. I was the pastor. I knew everything. I lead everything. I have grown as much as I can grow. And so the expectation was that I would preach on Sunday, teach a Sunday school class, mm-hmm. teach a Wednesday night Bible study, teach a men's group, teach this, teach that, teach everything else. And I did that for a couple years because that was the expectation.
And grow the church, because now new people are going to start coming in, and they're going to be, the new people in their minds are always young families with kids, and you're magically going to be able to get enough kids workers, and people are going to be happy, and there's going to be no problems or anything.
It's almost like you've been there. So I did that for a couple of years, and then finally I was at the end. I was like, listen, somebody's got to feed into me. I need to learn, because I haven't figured it all out. You know, I'm doing better than I was, 9 years ago, but I need somebody that can actually, and we had some great teachers in the church. So I let them teach the class, and I sat in there and I listened. I learned from them.
That's awesome.
I'm not one of those pastors that think that, oh, I'm the pastor, I've got it figured out, I'm going to teach you and give you all my knowledge, because that ain't much. So, I wanted to make sure that I was learning as well. So, but then it was a communication with my leadership saying, listen, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I need. And they were very receptive to it because we communicated that. I didn't just walk in one Sunday and say, hey, I'm done teaching.
Right.
We talked about it. So that communication is very, very important.
And keep in mind that you're coming in behind people. It's not, unless you're planning a church,
there's still expectations, though, as a church planner. And you're coming in behind somebody in an established church, but if you're a church planner, people that are coming to the church still have expectations. That's just, the expectations are probably a little different. So
yeah, and we're going to talk about people's expectations, vice versa.
At some point,
So but you're coming in behind people that has created baggage. Good baggage or bad baggage? There's baggage. And so realizing that as you come in, you come in with this fresh vision and this plan and all of that, you still got to deal with that was left behind for you.
Yeah. And so there are expectations. There are expectations for what you're going to be doing. There are expectations for who you're going to be as a pastor and your pastor's family. And like, I know for me, I'm a younger pastor. Well, I keep saying that, but I keep getting older as well. So, I'm not significantly older, not but I keep getting older. Yes. But so when I started, man, I was like, gosh, 25 years old when I first got into this thing. And like people are now all of a sudden I'm Pastor B and like, wait a second. Like, and in my mind, I knew everything, but the reality is I knew nothing and I didn't know about expectations. So here I am. Like, you know, earrings and tattoos and used to play in a punk rock band. And like, that's not the first picture in your mind whenever you hear the word pastor. And so I've had to learn over the years what it's like to be comfortable in my own skin as Pastor B and not as somebody's projection of what Pastor Brian or Reverend Brian should look like. And there's some give and take, okay? I think my generation, a lot of times we can be the rebellious generation. It's like, well, if you don't like me, then, you know, go and kick rocks.
Go to another church.
Go to another church. And I just honestly, I think that that's not Christ-like. I used to think that that was righteous indignation and being a prophet back in the early days, but it was just being an insecure little jerk is what it really was. Man, like there's give and take. There's absolutely give and take. And that's something that I wish I had been comfortable enough in my own skin to realize. John Maxwell talks about as you grow as a leader, he has this picture of a triangle. And the higher up you go, the more narrow it is. And that's your rights as a leader. Like when you're at the bottom of the triangle, you got a lot of latitude, but the higher up you go, you got less rights. Like we're pastors, so we probably shouldn't be sleeping with prostitutes, right? Like that would probably, in case any of our listeners are out there wondering where we stand on that, that's where we stand on that. Like now, to be clear, no one should be sleeping with prostitutes, but we have a higher standard because we have a higher calling. Therefore, we've got to lean into some certain expectations as well. And again, I think that that all brings it back to what's reasonable and what's not reasonable. But we also had mentioned some expectations that go onto the pastor's family. Joey, man, what have you experienced with some of those types of expectations?
Well, coming in, again, we're coming in behind people. The expectation, what was the expectation for the pastor's wife, pastor's spouse, depending. Yeah. What was their expectation? And they had expectations for them, that, well, the former pastor played the piano. The former pastor's wife did this or did that. And that's not up for them to determine what the pastor's wife does.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, man, whenever I first, let me say it this way. I have a friend. I already said whenever I first, so I can't. So you guess who the friend is. But somebody said to me about a previous pastor and his spouse. She did worship and she did kids ministry. And he said, we hit the jackpot with that pastor because we got two for one. Keep in mind, me and my wife were doing all of the praise and worship. We were doing all of the kids ministry and we were doing all of the, everything that they said the other guy did, we were doing plus other stuff, but they didn't hit the jackpot with us. And I'm like, I understood what they said, but it hurt, man. Yeah. And these are the hurts that come with these false expectations that are placed on people.
So you really need to discuss beforehand what your spouse is willing to do.
Yeah.
What she's comfortable doing.
She's gifted to do.
What she's gifted to do. And
what she's called to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's important.
And like this was our second church and I told April, I was like, if all you want to do is just sit on the front row and look pretty, boo boo, sit on the front row and look pretty because they're hiring me as the pastor, not we as the pastor.
Yeah. We come in and my wife did children's ministry and did all of that. And so a lot of times they were getting a two for one, but
they weren't paying for two for one, were they?
Yeah, and they didn't try to push other roles. So if somebody's spouse didn't want to do their job that morning and come in, then all of a sudden the pastor's wife was supposed to step up and take care of it and fill that hole. Well, wait a minute. Why does she got to step up and you're not telling your spouse they need to step up?
Right.
So we had a pastor that was his wife was very involved. I mean, she was the youth director, the worship director. She was she is a phenomenal woman, very gifted, very talented. When they were leaving, we were doing a pastoral search, and we had a pastor come in that was phenomenal. I mean, he was very a teaching heart. His skill was his gift was teaching. His wife was a behind the scenes person, and the people in the church were like, well, we don't want that. We want a wife that's going to be in the middle of everything, because that's what they were used to for so long. And so to find a pastor whose wife was going to be completely involved with everything was going to be a very difficult task, because not all pastors' wives are called, gifted, or able to do everything that the one did.
If you want trouble in your marriage, let them put your wife in a place that she doesn't want to be. Doing something she's not gifted to do.
Mm-hmm. With let's be honest for a second, with people that she's not in deep relationship with either.
Yeah.
Like, man, there was a couple years ago, there was a baseball player, and like they were in the playoffs, and he just had a horrible game, and the news caught him. He was in a local bar drinking after the game, and they're like giving this guy a hard time, like he doesn't care. And one of the sports commentators that I listened to was like, dude, the guy had a bad day at work and he was just blowing it off with a couple of beers. How many of you guys have a bad day at work and you do the same thing? And for me as a sports person, I'm like, no, he's supposed to bleed the team colors. Well, it was a job. And guys, pastoring is a holy call, but it's also a job too. And like, so when we force our spouses to do our job with our people sometimes, man, it can, like that, I'm not saying our spouses don't love the people and they're not in relationship with them, but it's just different. We're pastors. We come in, we are different.
So what I'm saying is you need to have that conversation with your spouse before you go in, and so you can tell them, this is what my wife will be doing.
Uh-huh.
You define that. It's not up for the church to define what your wife will be doing. That's a discussion between y'all two.
And pastor, have the courage to say no to a church and yes to your spouse. And I don't mean the church you're already in. Yeah, you need to have courage for that too. But if you're interviewing for a church and they're expecting something that your spouse isn't, even if it's a higher pay raise, don't start convincing her to do stuff just so you can get more money. Joey says this all the time, and I would like for you to say that phrase, that whenever I leave here, that thing you say.
Whenever I leave the church I'm at now, whatever, tomorrow or 20 years from now, the one thing I want to take with me when I go is my spouse. If right. I got to leave everything else behind, I want to make sure I take my spouse with me. And I want her to want to go with me. And so I've got to guard her.
Yeah. And so that means you listen, just trust me on this one. Okay. You need to be willing to say, I'm going to guard my marriage and not my ministry, because my marriage is my ministry.
The first one. So, you know, and I know we've discussed this, you know, not on air, but we've discussed this before about having our spouses on here. And I think it's important for pastors' wives to hear from other pastors' wives. I
and
love it.
Even that, my wife is like, I don't know if I want to do that. Yeah. Like, okay, well, I got to sit back and I'm not going to force you to do this.
My wife said, I need a list of questions you're going to ask. We're going to stay to a script, you know, all these things. So, but it's important. Now, it doesn't have to be in a podcast form, but pastors' wives need to talk to pastors' wives, because our wives, all three of us, our wives are friends. They're great women. They love God. They love us. They tolerate us.
They're saints, man. And we won't even live in the same zip code in heaven with our wives.
But the one thing, too, is they're all different. They're all skilled and gifted differently, and they do different things. Joey's wife she gets up on the platform and she preaches.
Well, she's got her minister's license, so she went through the process to get license.
And your wife, she leads with worship and she does a lot with kids. And I've offered to get my wife up on the platform to preach and she says, no, I will leave you. but she loves dealing with the little ones. She'd prefer being in the nursery. And so it's the skills that they all have, they all come with. They have this vision of what they've seen their pastors pastor's wife have. So when they become a pastor's wife, they feel like this is how I'm supposed to be. But when you get around other pastors' wives, you see that not all of them are like your pastor's wife. There, a lot of them are more like you. And so when they get together and they speak, and so pastors, if your wife isn't connected with other pastors' wives, you can't force it, but you can highly suggest it.
You can do what we did. We just forced
our three together.
That's right. You can cultivate it. You can't force it, but you can cultivate it.
We became friends. We got close and we decided, hey, we're going to get our families together, and boom, there it was.
Yeah.
And so, but they've got to get around that so they see that it's okay being who you are, who God has created you to be.
Yeah.
And don't let them compare themselves to the other, what the other wives are doing. Yeah. That they are unique in themselves. They're created for the unique talents and unique abilities. You do what you are called to do.
That's right.
You don't judge yourself by other people.
That's right. I love this, man. This has been a really good conversation. And so as we get to the end of this, is there anything else in terms of expectations that you think that we should share before we go?
Well, we talked about the expectations that the church has on us. We talked about the expectations they try to put on our spouse. But we need to be careful with the unspoken, uncommunicated expectations we have for our church.
Oh, he's dropping bombs over here. And with that being said, on our next podcast, whenever you tune into the Small Church Leadership Podcast, we're going to be talking about just that, the expectations that we as pastors bring to our churches. And guys, I'm going to tell you, you may not think that you have expectations that you throw at your church, but you've got a lot more than you realize.
And I know,
so
I do.
Make sure that you tune in to our next podcast where we talk about the expectations that we as pastors have for our churches. So until then, we'd like to ask you to do a handful of things. Kobe, what's the one thing we're going to ask them from you, bro?
Let's see. Do I want to do this one or do I want to do that? I'm going to do this one. Go out and give us a rating on wherever you get your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. We are, you know, I used to say that give us one that you think we deserve, but you know, my expectation for you is to give us a 5.
And so we're clearly communicating it.
Clearly
and
communicating
it's reasonable.
That expectation. Give us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcast. Share it with your friends. You have pastor friends that don't listen to this. Tell them they need to, because this is great stuff, great content. And hey, three knuckleheads to get together and speak into a microphone.
Right.
They also can go to our Facebook page.
Now, how could they do that, Joey?
Thank you for asking. Facebook.com/small church leadership.
Which slash?
Oh gosh, don't ask him which slash.
Backslash?
His head is about
He's
to explode.
Like 8/? Or if you're in here and you're probably around my age, you could just go open your Facebook app and click on the search bar and type in Small Church Leadership, and you can find it very easily that way. So until then, we thank you for listening to the Small Church Leadership
podcast.
We changed
that on him because he's used to that slash Small Church.
He's like, wait, what's happening? I don't know. We didn't talk about this. So we're going to make sure that we talk about everything with Joey before we hit record on the next one. So until then, man, thank you for listening to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, a podcast where we are prayerfully and hopefully helping the small church fulfill the big mission. I'm Brian.
I'm Colby.
I'm Joey.
And I'm dope, son. We'll see you next time, guys. Bye.